And if he says, wives, you are to submit yourselves in all things to your husband. What does that mean? A wife is to submit herself to her husband in everything. So when the wife has a need, can she, according to that, is she supposed to pray for herself? No. When she has a need, who's supposed to pray for her? Her husband. That's exactly right. Wives, submit to your husbands in
everything.
Oh, it says all things? Oh, surely he meant a few things, right? Well, most women in the church live their life like he said a few things. I know very few women that when they need something, they find their husband to have him pray for them. Of course, a lot of women that go to church have a husband that go to church and he will not pray for her. You have no idea how many times I've had a woman stand right here and tell me, well, yes, we go to church together, but my husband will not pray for me. Hey, you're on dangerous ground if you won't pray for your wife. God clearly told you, you are to pray for your wife. So if a, just like, now Cheryl learned this lesson the hard way. Now, that, and see, that's what, we when we learn it the hard way or the right way or whatever, it don't make no difference as long as we learn it, right? See, she had been without a husband for 24 years. So she prayed for herself. Now, was that legal? Sure. She's direct. She's connected directly to Jesus. She's a woman, but she's not a wife. So she don't have a husband to go to. So when she needs to pray for something, she can pray for herself, for her children, or for anybody else. But then she got married. And she became my wife. And so we were laying in bed one night at 2 o'clock in the morning, and she wakes me up and says, honey, you got to pray for me. I said, what's wrong with you? I mean, she said, well, I have this stomachache. It's just a burning fire. And I said, well, how long you had it? She said, about 2 days. I said, woman, what do you mean having this why didn't you ask me to pray for you 2 days ago when it started? She said, well, good grief, I've been praying for myself. I said, now what is it you don't understand about wives, submit yourself to your husband in everything? She said, what do you mean? I said, anytime you need a prayer answered according to God's word, you need to come to your priest. And I'll go to the Father through Jesus because you're my wife. I said, that's the line that he's laid out. Wives, submit to your husbands in all things. She said, well, I didn't know that. I said, well, just repent and tell God you're sorry. So, I mean, isn't that wonderful on the new covenant? 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he's righteous and just to forgive your sin and restore you to fellowship. Isn't that wonderful? So she said, Father, I'm sorry. I didn't know. But does it make any difference whether you know or not? No. The word's written. He holds you accountable whether you know it or not. And so she said, Lord, I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me for not submitting to my husband. And I said, that's all it takes. And I reached over and laid my, we're still in the total dark at 2 o'clock in the morning. I just reached over and laid my hand on her stomach and said, Father, in Jesus' name. And that's all I got out. And her pain was gone in one instant. Instantly healed. Wow, she said, it's gone. And I mean, in 5 minutes, well, I won't tell it. I started to say she was snoring so loud I couldn't sleep. No, she wasn't snoring that loud. But she did go to sleep rather quick, I will have to say. As she tells me, you go to sleep in 2 breaths. Well, let me tell you, that night after her pain went away, she went to sleep in about 2 or 3 breaths. Now, when we're obedient and we fall into God's authority like he says, does he show up to do what he says?
Yes.
Yes. Now, when he says, wives, submit to your husbands in all things, did he mean that?
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of women in the church that does not understand what that means. You know, if their husbands are loving them like Christ loved the church, the woman shouldn't have a problem submitting to her husband in all things. But if she doesn't, she's probably going to be sick and have problems that she can't get rid of until she learns the truth and she repents, and then the man of faith. Now, if the husband is not walking where he needs to be walking, he's not walking lined up in God's Word, and if he's got some kind of a little something there that he's not in the Word every once in a while, not every once in a while, regularly, he's not doing what God says, then chances are you've got unbelief in you, and so it ain't going to do no good for him to pray for you, because nothing happens. If he's not lined up with God and she's not lined up with God, we got two sinners here. And when you learn this stuff and the wife submits and says, "Oh God, I ask you to forgive me," just like Cheryl did that night. From that day forth, that's been 5 years ago almost. I mean, anytime anything happens, this girl can have anything go wrong with her. She don't even think about praying for herself. She grabs me. She may have to come in and drag me out of bed. But she's going to get me up to pray for her, because she knows when I pray for her. In fact, I prayed for her the first probably 3 years, and God, Ed didn't make it what she needed. When I prayed, he did it for her just like that. And then one day she had a little bump come up on her chest. And she got up one morning, she said, "Honey, look at this thing." I said, "Okay," I put my finger on it. I said, "I curse that thing in the name of Jesus, it's gone." The next morning she said, "Come in here, look at this, it hadn't changed." I said, "Okay." So I laid my finger on it again. I said, "In the name of Jesus, I curse that thing, command it to leave in Jesus' name." The next morning she gets up and she comes gets me and she said, "Okay, where have you sinned?" I said, "What do you mean, where have I sinned?" She said, "That thing you prayed over the last 2 or 3 days and it ain't gone." I said, "Usually you pray it's gone right then." So I said, "You must have sinned somewhere." "Well, it sounds like a good reasoning, doesn't it, sir?" I said, "No, God is taking a little bit of time. As far as I know, I've not sinned anywhere." I said, "He's teaching you to be patient." Oh, she don't like that. She don't want patience. She wants it right now. That's like the day that we were on a fast, and Cheryl was going to sing for a big group of people one night. And that morning when she woke up, had great big old whips all over her face. She had them all over her face. Well, she come to me and said, "Look at this." And so I looked at it. I said, "No problem. It's just little demons that are coming out of you." I said, those little things get in us because of different sins in our life. And I said, "Now that you've been married to me," I said, "and we're going to fast, these little things don't like it because you've stopped feeding them." So I said, "They're just showing up." I said, "No problem." I said, "Our sins are all confessed. So I will just lay my hands on your face, command them to leave." And I said, "They'll go away." So I commanded them to leave in the name of Jesus. She walked and looked in the mirror and she said, "Thank you, Lord, that they're gone." But they wasn't gone. But now see, she was calling something that had not become yet as though it were. "Thank you, Lord, that you're gone." Well, she goes to see her daughter, and her daughter, she wants her to come out to the car. And she said, "But Mama, I'm busy. Come inside." She said, No, I don't want the people to see me. She said, "I want you to come out here." So she come outside, and she saw her mother and said, "Mama, what in the world is wrong with you? We can't sing tonight to all them people. You look awful." And she said, "Oh, Thurman prayed for me. They'll be gone for a night." Now, is that what you call faith? Yes, that's faith. She was believing what God says, although it hadn't showed up instantly for her. She's believing, and she's not saying, "Oh, I'm so worried if these things are not gone by night. Oh, I can't get out there in front of all those people. Look at me, I look awful." Now, if she'd have went there, they would have never went away. But she didn't go there. She was sure. She was confident. She was sure that the Word of God could not fail her. So just a little while after she left her daughter, she came home and she was getting ready to go to that deal to sing that night, and her face became as beautiful as it is right now. There wasn't a mark or a raised part on it. Now see, if you don't get your answer right now, don't cast away your confidence in the Word, right? You have need of patience. Somebody says, "I have patience, Lord, as long as it happens right now." That's the kind of patience we have. No. Sometimes it takes God a while. Even when I prayed over Philip Wren that time, when I went over to Philip's house and Philip had hundreds of warts all over his body, when I prayed over Philip, it took 3 weeks for all the warts to go away. And then it took one more week for all the scars to go away. But after 4 weeks, since he didn't cast away his confidence in the word, him or mother, in 4 weeks' time, a little boy had warts for 8 years and had scars for many years where they had burned some of them off his body. God took off the warts and the scars. All you got to do is learn to be patient. Isn't that the way it works? The promises are there. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, what he's telling us, we are to be a living example of God to our children. We're to read to our children, our grandchildren. We're to teach our children about God. And here's the way I look at it now, as I see it today. Every Christian man should be able to read the Word and be a living example of Jesus before his children with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Now then, what I mean by that, just like give you an example. The other day, it's like I was sitting here in my office, and of course I don't have any windows in my office, so I don't see outside. So all of a sudden, something just prompted me to get up and walk around and to go outside. So I thought, oh, okay, I don't know why. Okay, Lord, it must be. So I get up and I walk up the front and I walk out the front door. As soon as I walk out the front door, going across there was my little grandson and my granddaughter. And he's just pushing his bicycle, just crying like crazy. I thought, okay, Lord, now I know why you prompted me to come up here. I went walking out there. I said, Preston, son, I said, what's wrong with you? Oh, granddaddy, I fell over and the handlebar hit me in the chest and it so hurts and I'm going home to mama. I said, well, son, just a minute, Jesus will take care of that. So I reached over and laid my hand on his back and on his chest. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said I could ask for anything and you'd do it. Didn't he say that? I said, Father, I ask you to take away little Preston's pain. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. I said, now, Preston, you ain't got no pain. He stopped crying. He said, you're right, Granddaddy, it's gone. I said, son, it's just Jesus. He just loves you. He just wanted to heal you. So I said, he took away your pain. But he needed a man of faith to pray for you. And so I said, he sent me out here to pray for you so that he can heal you. He don't just do things just without anybody. He needs a man of faith.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, I Thought You Were a Man of Faith, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.